like what he's doing with those vibes. All right, so we're talking about water. We're talking about seawater. We're talking about desalinating, taking the salt out of the seawater to make it usable for crops, things like that. So while we're on seawater, let's take a break from the connection with climate change. Well, sort of. It's not really a break, not a big break anyway. You know, we've been, Seeker.com and Discovery are taking us on a journey of the swim, where we have a real live swimmer. His name is Ben, who is doing some things to help us become more aware of what's going on in our seas. There is a connection between that swim, the discovery of what's happening with the seas, and climate change, because he's taking a look at what we're doing with regards to taking care of our waters. So in the process, though, he's discovering a lot more. As a matter of fact, how many of you enjoyed watching Jaws? Yeah, some of these movies about sharks. Well, Seeker.com has something to say about that. You know, we've seen Ben swimming via Seeker.com, the Natural Resource Defense Council. So we're looking at Seeker.com, and let's hear about a very interesting swimming connection.
In the story of an epic journey across the Pacific Ocean, one particular character might quickly come to mind.
And there's a shark.
Just right there.
Ben saw it first, actually. It was just straight on the bow of the boat, 3 meters away, and was like bigger than Ben.
I first saw the shark, it freaks me out a little bit because it was very close already. I was very impressed by the size of the tail. The body was big also, as a manga, so I felt at first small, but very privileged at the same time.
Before we left, we finally managed to get in touch with a shark specialist to ask what to do in case of sharks.
That specialist was Dr. Charlie Huveniers, a biologist who works to unlock the mysteries of shark behavior. Charlie and his team hope to find scientifically sound ways to help sharks and humans share the ocean.
There's a lot of situations when sharks and humans would be interacting, would be in the same area without anything happening. Overall, some of these pelagic species are typically quite curious. Evolutionarily, if you're living in the middle of the ocean, you'd need to be curious to investigate random objects to be able to survive. Unfortunately, it's hard to be in the mind of a shark to be able to understand why in some cases sharks do decide to attack. In the case of Ben, like any other humans, the risk overall from shark attack are very, very low. However, Ben will be spending a fair amount of time in the water, swimming in fairly remote location where wild sharks are more likely to be occurring.
Sharks have a fearsome reputation, but only a handful of the hundreds of known species could pose a threat to humans. Nonetheless, the crew consulted with Charlie on their options to lower Ben's risk of a dangerous encounter.
A deterrent is effective when it can reduce the risk of a shark bite. Things like chemical repellents aimed at overwhelming the olfaction, the smell of the shark. There are wetsuits that are trying to somewhat camouflage the person wearing it. There's no silver bullet.
It turns out that the same supersensory adaptations that have allowed these prehistoric predators to flourish in every ocean for 400 million years may also be the key to how we can coexist with them today.
The electromagnetic sense that sharks have is called the ampullae of Lorenzini. It is small pores that are located on the snout of the sharks that are filled with a gel. That gel is conductive and allows that electric field to be passed on to the sensory organs and then processed by the brain. And that enables them to feel and detect the very weak electromagnetic field in the water.
So if sharks use these heightened senses to detect prey, can we design technology that can tap into the shark's electromagnetic receptors to keep both humans and sharks safe? To find out, Charlie and his team placed 5 different deterrents in known shark hangouts and attempted to lure the sharks towards some tasty tuna.
2 were based on electric fields. We had a total of 300 trials. During those trials, we tested about 44 sharks interacting with our experimental gear, and these sharks did more than 1,500 passes.
What the team found was that only one of the deterrents tested had any effect on the behavior of the sharks, the shark shield that targeted the sensitive ampullae.
When you have the shark shield, it's very annoying for sharks. So at first they are curious and they come close, but when if they come too close, it's a bit like a very loud speaker for your ear. It won't stay around, it doesn't harm you, but it's a bit annoying.
Without any deterrent, the shark was taking the bait that we were presenting them about 96% of the time. Once we used this electric field deterrent, the proportion of bait being taken by the shark was reduced down to 40%.
The crew keeps this device aboard the dinghy while Ben swims, but Ben didn't need it during his recent peaceful encounter with a mako shark.
That's Ben. You say there's a shark in the water, and then he asks for clear goggles so he can see the shark and swim with it. What a character.
Next move was to get a GoPro and then take my snorkel and then be very quiet and be relaxed in the water and follow the behavior and try to enjoy the moment.
But it seems such a moment with a shark that isn't a man-eating machine is still quite difficult for some to imagine. Some studies have suggested that the public tends to overestimate the occurrence of shark attacks by 10 or even 100 times. There's just so little we actually know about these fascinating fish.
We've got more than 500 different species of sharks, and out of those, there's still a lot of species that are currently unknown. We don't even know their reproductive cycle. We don't even know what they've been feeding.
The reason why I stay in the water whenever we have type of sea life is to observe it and try to understand it a little bit more. It's not about Jaws, the movie, that we all know. Sharks are not like that. Sometimes they are like us or like any animals, they are curious.
When people mostly first out with sharks, the first thing they say is that, wow, that was impressive, that was beautiful. They're more in awe rather than they were in fear. Ben's swim across the Pacific is amazing. Obviously, you know, he has to be careful, but in most of the cases, he'll be quite lucky to be able to observe these animals in a natural environment that not many people get to see as well.
So, ladies and gentlemen, how would you like to swim with the sharks? He asked for the clear goggles so he could see the shark better and swim with it. I know that was a bit risky, but man, like he said, can you imagine swimming with sharks in their natural habitats? I mean, it would be enough to swim with them in, say, a place like, what do they call them? Like the place in Orlando, some kind of cage place where we've, you know, basically captured them and holding them captive, and they swim where we would swim anyway. But you're out there in the ocean, in the thick of the ocean, swimming with them in their homes, their natural habitats, their playground. Wow, what an experience. All right, back in a few.